Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Day after the roster cut down to 53 for your Texans, a little bit of movement to try and make sure the practice squad is all together. We heard from Nick Caserio earlier today saying that over the next week or two, they might even do a little dabbling to see if they can add some depth to figure some things out there. But as of right now, you have the initial roster. When it came down to the cuts, what caught your eye?
Yeah, what raised your eyebrows? I use that term a lot where you just kind of go, okay, you don't know good or bad. It's just sort of an attention thing. First and foremost, British Brooks. Like, what a fantastic story. But they're not in the business of stories in the NFL. I mean, they you're going to have to prove it, and he did. It's a great story. The dude was a walk-on at North Carolina, ended up being a big-time player there, undrafted out of North Carolina, ends up making this freaking roster in what wound up being a stacked running back room, you know? So
yeah.
British Brooks is a great story. I think he's going to mess people up. I think they're going to use him not just in special teams and maybe here and there as a running back, but mostly as a fullback, you know, in that mix with Cade Stover and Brevin Jordan and such. I think British Brooks is going to be a really, really good asset to this team, but it definitely raised an eyebrow, British Brooks.
Yeah, and I mean, both Caserio and D'Amico Ryans in their availabilities today, glowing about British Brooks and his availability, or his, you know, not availability, his willingness to do everything. In fact,
what were you saying off air?
I don't know if this in quite highlights it, but it's definitely the way I heard it, right?
Yeah.
Question was asked of British Brooks, and he's you know, after practice, and he was the question was, what was that exactly? Are you open, or are you excited for the opportunity to kind of do some fullback stuff? Is that something that appeals to you? And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, appreciate the opportunity. I'm down for whatever they want me to do.
He's going
right?
to mess fools up, man.
The vibe that he gave was, I'll clean the bathrooms if they need me to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's the kind of dog and work ethic that I imagine that you definitely want in a fullback. Is like, hey, man, do I need to decleat that guy? All right, we can
do that.
Right, we are going to create this path. And so the mentality is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm interested in seeing how he's utilized and how that works. And if this is like a, yo, this is the fullback, or if this is a, this is the fullback for now.
Hybrid or whatever.
Until we figure out what's happening. But congratulations to that man in particular, right? Because I did not know that this was how they were going to handle that position. I mean, we got some ideas late in camp and in preseason, we saw him start to get some carries or some snaps in that role.
And he's powerful.
He is.
Like, if you see some of the highlights or, you know, some of the games, like when he blocks a dude, like
they feel blocked.
Hey,
if you get blocked by British Brooks, you stay blocked.
You stay blocked.
Okay. I think that one absolutely was one of the ones for a lot of folks, because that fullback spot was a place we were looking at.
Yeah.
Seven wide receivers.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact, I sent you a text once we got that official. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, the old man was right. Right. Like, but not just that. Robert Woods in particular,
mm-hmm,
remaining on this roster. Because it felt like organizationally, and maybe this, we're reading into things and then like doubling down on our reading. And it felt like organizationally, this team was like, yo, young, talented dudes, mm-hmm, that have upside. That's where we want to be. Robert Woods doesn't necessarily fit that.
No.
And I thought that, okay, he became a little bit expendable in some ways. Right?
I agreed.
A little superfluous for me to, mm-hmm, dig out the thesaurus, right? But this team, and they've talked about him. D'Amico was talking about him earlier, talking about how, you know, just he's consistent. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously you can say that in a positive, but I was kind of utilizing that in the, okay, that's fine.
No,
you know
I was
what
with
it
you.
Is. And you know what, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him, or you're not going to get anything particularly extra. And so, mm-hmm, looking towards the future, maybe you go more young, but they're like, look, it's worth having all of these guys, including Robert Woods, because of, you know, the veteran leadership, the professionalism that he brings, and just, you know exactly what you're going to get when you line him up.
I also think, I think they actually did, and it's clear, it's evident in their roster makeup. I think they did make a conscious philosophical decision. Let's go young. Let's go with upside. But then at the same time, D'Amico and Nick ultimately said, yeah, but we still need Robert Woods. let's go a little younger. Let's go with some of that upside. But that just pertains to Noah Brown. I think they still like him. They still need him.
Sure.
Now, to be fair, they still may move him. if they get a deal and they get something in return that they feel would be worth it. But I think for now, they're like, yeah, we're going young, except in this case. We like him.
Right. And yeah. I'm interested to see how they use all these wide receivers. You know, the three up top are going to be doing what they do with Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and mm-hmm. of course, Stephon Diggs, right? Xavier Hutchinson is a dude who has gotten a lot of accolades both after the final preseason game, after the cutdown, all of these things. Like, we've heard great things about Xavier Hutchinson, and the words that kind of come to mind are just like, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him as well, while he also has that kind of youthful upside. Mechie, upside guy. Mm-hmm. Robert Woods, another kind of guy that you know exactly what you're going to get. Like, you have a whole second turnover of guys that you can throw out there, plus Steven Sims, who I imagine will be more special teams, but has the capability of stepping into that role. I'm interested to see if they're going to tap into all of these guys in some way, shape, or form, or if it's going to be they're there as a luxury, but we're rolling with the top end that is really good, as the evidence earlier.
Yeah, I think obviously mostly roll with the top end, but those guys are going to be productive in some way. I think Xavier Hutchinson is going to be used in end-arounds and reverses and some maybe some gadget-type, or they call them gadget-type plays, but they're generally in everybody's playbook. And maybe you know, Mechie in the kick game. That he got a couple of reps toward the end of camp, if you recall.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, they'll use them every way they can. Here's one that made me, I haven't even mentioned yet, and so I'm glad we're talking about what kind of made you raise your...
Oh, I forgot the one that made me raise my...
Your eyebrows.
Let's see if it's the same one.
I think they're kind of rolling the dice on at defensive tackle. I really do. Let's
what
look
do you
at,
mean?
Okay, let's look at who they have at defensive tackle, okay? So they're in a situation where DeNico Autry is going to be suspended.
For 6 games.
Kurt Heinisch is on the IR.
Correct.
Tim Settle had an injury, although he was at practice today.
So that don't even matter.
So it doesn't really matter. but they don't have, I mean, look at their DTs. They got they don't have as many warm bodies as you might expect that they would.
Fatukasi.
Yep.
Mario Edwards. Those are your starters in the middle. Khalil Davis and Tim Settle.
Yeah. I could see where that's... There's a lot of unproven there behind Edwards and... well, Khalil Davis is okay, but Fatukasi, I think Tim Settle, we'll see. Heinisch, again, has had an injury.
He won't be eligible to come back for 4 weeks.
So... That's a lot. That's the middle of the defense, man. I mean, you know, if you get an injury there, maybe they're still looking to add. But no DeNico Autry. I think that's a little bit of a roll of the dice that they're going to hope these guys produce, number one, and stay healthy, number two.
Yeah, the stay healthy, I think, is an interesting one. But I think what that sounds like is a vote of confidence on Mario Edwards, right?
Yes.
Fatukasi, you knew, was a starting caliber defensive tackle. DeNico Autry is the guy who you anticipate playing there. But then Mario Edwards... I think in the course of preseason and, you know, camp, you look up and you go, okay, we feel comfortable with him taking a lion's share of the snaps there, as opposed to maybe having to have a group of guys there. And if that's the case, in order to get you through 4 weeks, not viewing it as getting you through the season, but in order to get you through 4 weeks, he can eat up a majority of those at a level that's high enough for you to have good play. So I think that I'm actually okay there, like as skittish as I can be with a lot of things and wanting more and more cover. I think that I'm actually less concerned about that. The thing that caught my eye, and I honestly, it's a damn shame that I waited 8 to 10 minutes into the segment to even bring this up. Hey, man, Christian Harris is starting on the IR.
Yes.
Right? Like, Christian Harris, you anticipated having him in tandem with Azeez Al-Shaair to fix the linebacker position and have that be an upgrade over what you had prior, with no disrespect to the gentleman that had held those positions before.
Right.
Have these guys in here managing manning the middle of the field and being able to, you know, stop the run, but then being the foundation and the fulcrum around what this defense operates under to be the high-level, potential elite defense that we anticipate it can be.
Yeah.
Chris Harris is not going to be there for 4 weeks.
He is not.
Right? And not in the same way of the defensive line, I don't know that I have the same level of confidence that you have a guy that, all right, take a majority of the snaps for the 4 weeks until Christian Harris returns. I think that's going to be really interesting to see how that part of the defense, the spine of the defense, as we call it, right? That's a very vital part of this, how that is able to handle hold up over the pressure that I think a lot of teams are going
to
try and put
out. Well, there's no way to go around it. You're taking a hit there. You're going to have to make do with a lesser talent. That's not an insult.
No.
It's just because Christian Harris was expected to be, you know, Pro Bowl type player. We're going to hear from Andy Kalu tomorrow. He's going to join us, and I think he said All Pro. He was
high
that,
praise.
He was that confident in Christian Harris. So no insult to Jake Hansen or anyone else, Jamal Hill or whatever. You're taking a hit there. I mean, you're taking a slight step back, at least in terms of what your expectations were. And then the other one that kind of raised an eyebrow was one that we had talked about a lot, kind of, you know, wondered if this was going to be the case. And it ties in with British Brooks. They don't have any true fullbacks. Now, British Brooks may well end up being, you know, the de facto fullback. But I think this is I thought of Bobby Slowick. When I saw they didn't have fullbacks, I thought about Bobby Slowick. And why did I think about the offensive coordinator? Because I think he's got something up his sleeve with how they're going to utilize the fullback. It's his second year here. He's got his feet under him. You know, he's clearly a terrific play caller. He's been in the lab. I think he's not just, because this is an offense that uses a fullback. Like, yeah. they use a fullback consistently, not just here, but in this type of offense.
And the inspiration of the offense, yes, in the Shanahan style. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They use a fullback, and they don't have any true, you know, by trade fullbacks unless British Brooks becomes one. So I thought of Bobby Slowick. Can't wait to see how he uses Cade Stover as a blocker and then maybe out of the backfield, or maybe chip and get into the route, you know, or something like that, or whether it's Brevin Jordan or, hell, British Brooks. I think we're going to see another little wrinkle here that we didn't really see a lot last year with the fullback position.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I have neglected to mention a decent amount, and I'm very glad that you bring up, is there's something to be said for how coaches add and elevate to what a football team is and can be.
Absolutely.
Right? And sometimes we can just focus on the Jimmys and Joes, and the Jimmys and Joes matter a great deal. But then there is a whole bunch to be added on top with good coaching. And I think one thing that we're fairly comfortable and confident about here with these Houston Texans is that they have good to great coaching, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so offensively, yeah, you're giving this widely well-regarded offensive coordinator, play caller in Bobby Slowick a little bit of something to work around, but now this is a pretty solid situation offensively. Like, when you talk about the tools, where can he then be even more creative and operate in a way where you get some of the effects that you had in the fullback, with the fullback in the system, with the Cade Stover, with British Brooks, mm-hmm, not without having that specific kind of fullback role in particular. Although our friends at Arlads, who kind of, you know, I love using their depth chart. It just visually looks really cool. They went ahead and slid British Brooks into that fullback role there as well. Yeah. That's by no means official, but I did find that to be kind of interesting that they're already considering him a fullback, and I feel like he probably operates as such.
That's actually the one I use all the time too. It does just, it's clean. It's a clean look.
It is.
And then there's one more.
Okay.
There's one more that I feel maybe was the headline, and we made it a sub-headline. Two quarterbacks and Case Keenum,
yes,
on the IR.
Yeah, and the other one of the – well, no, he's not designated. He's not one of the two that you can designate to return.
No, he's done
Heinisch
for the year.
And Harris are the ones that you can designate to return.
No, Case Keenum is done for the year with this squad this year anyway. And that was an eyebrow raiser for me for an altogether different reason. And maybe I'm just overthinking this, which I've been known to do. But I could see where they're keeping Case Keenum in the building because they know they're going to be losing an offensive coordinator next year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're doing him a solid.
So possible quarterback coach?
Gerard Johnson moves up to offensive coordinator. Case Keenum moves to quarterbacks coach. Keep in mind, the fact that they're keeping him in the building, they're doing him a solid with the salary, which he deserves, you know,
sure,
as all the things that he's done and helped this team, win a division championship last year. But they're also keeping him in the building. That means he can go to every practice, every meeting, every everything.
Yeah.
And he can be right there next to Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson. And so when you start planning big picture, macro, you know, type, whatever you want to call it, look at this organization, they're already kind of thinking, like, we're going to lose Bobby Slowick. He could have been a head coach last year.
It felt like he was damn near close to taking a job this year.
Yeah, I mean, this year. So they're going to lose him. So, all right, we feel good about Gerard Johnson. And Gerard he's been friends with Case Keenum since they were in college.
Yeah.
Maybe even high school. So there's your compatibility right there. I could see where they're keeping him around. He's going to be in all the meetings, all the practices, all the everything, and basically serve as a coach. And then, boom.
Do you see Case Keenum wanting to do that?
Because 100%.
I think that they definitely want to keep him around, but do you see him taking that role, just walking around with the clipboard this year?
100%. His dad was you know, legendary high school football coach. It's in his blood. I probably should have led with that, but that's on me. Like, I'm like, okay, I see you working, Nick. I see you working, D'Amico. Keep Case around. Get him a ball cap, you know, and a whistle.
And even if you don't want to take it all the way to that level, getting an opportunity to keep a veteran quarterback around the building is helpful. Regardless, right? Like, even if he's not ultimately trying to go into coaching or coaching here. And I think you're right. Like, I do think that it opens up the avenue for that in a great way. But just on its own merits of he gets to remain around the building, I think that's huge in and of itself, right? The experience that he has in this league, the tips and tricks that he might be able to impart in some ways, or just the additional set of eyes that he can add.
Or hell, just the relationship.
Great point.
Like, he's in the quarterback room on the other side of the coaches with C.J. Stroud the last year plus.
Yeah.
So now he's got that thing with C.J. Stroud and everybody else. No, I see him working here. I may be dead wrong, but I see him working.
Shout out to the man. but yeah, some things that raised the eyebrows from the 53-man cut down. Some other things that are happening. The practice squad is being put together. J.J. Taylor, running back, is officially going to be on the practice squad, as is defensive tackle Marcus Harris.
All right, that's the one I was hoping.
Yeah, so
yeah, he had a good preseason.
When you talk about the depth at defensive tackle, that is also a little bit of cover, as you know, you can elevate three times from the practice squad.
Yes,
if you end up in a place where before D'Amico Autry returns, looking a little.
No, that's why it was an eyebrow raiser for me. And oh, hey, great, we got another running back, Figgy. That's eight.
There you go.
Load them up.
So there you go. Those are some things that are happening on when it comes to the practice squad. Cam Irving is also going on the practice squad as well. So a little bit of additional offensive line depth that's happening there. Solomon Bird, 7th-round pick, signed to the practice squad. Let me make sure I get all these. We mentioned Zeke Turner earlier, right? Troy Hairston officially as well on the practice squad. David Sharp, who we mentioned earlier. Johnny Johnson, the wide receiver, is on there. So there you go. Practice squad coming together. And I guess just to throw in a little nugget, Chandler Rome reporting that Jason Hayward is taking his physical today for the Astros. So that outfielder, 5-time Gold Glover, who was released by the Dodgers, is getting his physical done so that he can become a part of the Astros today. Coming up next in the Loop Sports Radio 610, we got to turn it over to my man Fig for Figgy's mixtape.
Yeah, man. C.J. Stroud, highly motivated by James Harden. What?
Okay, let's figure out what that means next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is. Figgy Fig on and down on a hump day. Happy hump day to everyone out there. And before I get to C.J. Stroud and why James Harden really motivated him, just want to say salute to Travis and Jason Kelce for signing a 3-year deal, $100 million-plus dollar deal with Amazon for their new podcast.
New Heights.
New Heights podcast.
I was like, I'm glad you brought this up. I mentioned this to Reggie off air yesterday. Look, you're worth what they pay you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're worth what they pay you. Yeah. So I'm not lamenting anybody going out and getting their money.
I hear a buck coming.
Uh-oh.
But.
There it is.
But is their podcast worth $100 million?
I was getting there. See, this is my theory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think they got a lot of thinking to do for Taylor Swift. I don't think they would have got this if it was for Taylor Swift. Because when I guess they were dating and all that stuff, a lot of people, their numbers was going up on that podcast.
Yeah.
So I think the numbers helped spiked up that podcast.
For sure.
And I think this is part of the reason why they got such a big number like this.
I think that's part of it for sure. I also think, though, like, we're seeing the athlete podcast is doing numbers, right?
Oh, it's the way to go.
Like, the podcast space in general, and it's funny because for years, I've been like, man, podcast space is pretty saturated, right? It feels like it's oversaturated and it just keeps growing. And I'm like, I guess we have not reached that point yet, right? Of oversaturation. But like, with that being the case, there is still a lot of podcasts out there. I think the things that help you break through are either having a deeply, deeply unique topic.
Yeah.
Or having people that folks are here to listen to. And athletes have made this really easy. We've seen this with you know, the mm-hmm. we've seen this with the basketball, all the basketball players that are doing this. Yeah. And then also, like, I mean, with some of these football players, right? And
yeah.
these guys have that appeal of just being like, oh, these are names that people know coming in. But then also, like, they're kind of entertaining, right?
They find
a level of entertainment, and they find also they're good with social media, right? Their clips really often go viral or some sort. And I think that is where it's worthwhile.
Trust me on this.
It cuts through the noise a lot easier.
It is very good. They're very good. I think Figgy is right. I think Taylor Swift had a huge impact on this just in terms of downloads, you know, and such. But all that said, like if this were mainstream network TV, you know, and they were doing a podcast, would they be hired for $100 million? Or would it be 20 million? I'm not saying it's not worth it. They're not great. Don't get me wrong, but that's a big number for a podcast.
It is. And I wanted to ask y'all this question, too, because, like, we all do podcasts and, you know, different little stuff outside of the normal radio station.
Yeah.
When I seen this number, it kind of unmotivated me for some reason.
Wow. What?
It's like, man.
Oh, so I'm out.
You're not like CJ Stroud then. Okay,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah. It was like, man, I'm never getting $100 million.
Figgy, I think you
for
will.
People to hit.
I think you
man,
can.
Nah, I don't
you don't
so.
Know. It just takes, you know, that one moment, that one shining moment where people all of a sudden connect.
$100 million? Man, I just don't see it. But
no, man. Don't let it unmotivate you.
I know you're being positive, and you know I'm gonna stay motivated. But
I don't know. I think quitting is underrated.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta.
Sometimes you're probably right.
That's a point that I've long held. Yeah. I just felt like I needed to counteract. There was a lot of positivity happening, so I was just like, let me sprinkle a little negative in here.
Yeah, but when I see numbers like this, it kind of made me rethink everything.
Now,
like,
look, let me just tell you this. My last piece of little motivation here. Every single podcast on Earth. Now, some of them had a big advantage because of name recognition, but some didn't. Like, there are some podcasts out there making millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
That started just like Figgy started.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, I started the Bite Me podcast just because we wanted to do it.
Ding. You see that little plug in there?
Just because we wanted to do it. 500,000 downloads. I mean, I'm just
okay.
saying.
Okay. All saying. Right. I already made note that it was a plug. You didn't have to actually go there.
No, but I was saying, there are people like you and me that just started it because we enjoyed doing it, and then it blew up.
Yeah, it's just tough to see. Even like it was a girl that was on Barstool. I think her name was Alex Cooper. Is it Alex Cooper? It was the Call Me Daddy podcast.
I did see that she just picked up a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah, man. Uh-huh. She went to SiriusXM and got over $100 million too.
$100 million? Maybe I'm just miscalculating.
She got a lot, man.
Well, I think you're viewing it wrong, right? You're like, oh man, look at all that money they got. I think what you need to look at it as. Hey, man, people paying for this stuff, right? Yeah. There's a lot of money going around in this. Let me go get my slice of the pie.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm overthinking
it
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Somebody that was actually really motivated by another, I guess, guy that been in Houston for a long time for going to strip clubs and stuff like that.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
That's very motivated me.
CJ Stroud, he was very motivated by James Harden. And listen to what motivated him.
I knew I was always talented at sports. And I remember I seen James Harden's contract. And they broke it down by the year, the month, the day, and the second. And I was like, man, they paying this dude all this money to play a sport we grew up loving. From that moment on, my life changed. And I stopped going to lunch. I stopped hanging out. I stopped going to parties. I stopped doing a lot of things. I started just grinding and working because I wanted to change my family dynamic and my last name. I wanted to mean something.
Okay.
Figure that ties in with what we were just talking about. You can take your motivation from that. That's big time.
I see why he was walking out with Amber Rose then.
Oh.
Kind of get that whole James Harden thing going
wow.
on, right?
Wow.
That's a hard left you just took.
Yeah.
That's a hard left you just took.
I mean, that was on the boardroom. I saw that on YouTube
last night.
Yeah. I found that to be interesting, man. Like that he has his head screwed on so properly, right?
He's
like
so young.
He really is, man. 22, correct? And what he's talking about? He's not talking about this year, right? Like that's at least
I think it was like in middle school or high school or something.
Because he was talking about not going to lunch, right?
Yeah.
Like which by the way, still go get something to eat, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta
make
something.
Sure you get some, but like, you know, making sure to sacrifice to make sure to get where he wants to go. I just find it to be hilarious that like the things that he's talking about is like sacrifice and hard work. James Harden doesn't necessarily come to mind when you think of those things, right? Like, we've heard plenty of stories that make it seem as though those things were a little bit secondary for James Harden at times. But you know what? Whatever, however the motivation comes, if you look up, you go, damn, that money's out there to be gotten and all I have to do is work hard to get it. All right, let me go work hard. If that works, do that.
I want to ask y'all this. What's something in y'all personal life that you will give up to get further in life? Something that will improve your life or something to help you get the bag, let's say.
That is a great question. How real do we want to get in this moment, right? Like there's definitely some things that, you know, you have to sacrifice in some ways. Some things that I will say that I probably should not have sacrificed in some ways to try and move up.
I'm thinking in terms of like what he said. Like he said he stopped going to lunch and stopped going to parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be easy for me at this point.
Yeah. Right. Or even on a personal level, like me. Yeah. Like I wanna be slim. I wanna be fit and slim.
Yeah.
So if somebody came up to me and said, hey, no more crawfish, no more chicken wings,
right?
You could get the perfect body you want. I would probably give that up.
Yeah, mine would be very similar. Like, you know my weak spot, the reason I have this beer belly, besides beer, is pan dulce, you know, Mexican. Mexican. Okay. I could live on that. I could eat it every day.
It's taquerias around us.
Yeah, pan dulce is what you say. Or cheeses. Like, I'm a big cheese guy. Like, you know, y'all were talking about blue, but I can eat cheese, like, every day. But if somebody said, hey, you know what? You're going to get $100 million. If you stop eating pan dulce and cheese, I'd be like, I'm in. It'd be hard.
Yeah.
It'd be hard. But I would do it.
I mean, yeah. Now, look, there have already been sacrifices that have been made. Like, also just like, hey, man, raise a thin budget, buddy, if you want to make this shake in certain ways.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do that to get to the places. And then also, mm-hmm. I think, just with your time in the same way, but not exactly. It's not exactly the, you know, going, not, you know, skipping lunch and like, but, you know. Making sure that, hey, are you using your time wisely to make sure that you're prepared for what you need to do, or, you know, you're watching the game or, you know, going and maybe watching something. I know for damn sure, like, you know, doing this job, there's some Sundays where you get to some of these games and you're like, damn, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's what you do in order to make sure that you're giving it your best effort to be as successful and be as good as you want to be. So, yeah, no, there's definitely places, and I'm sure that there's places that I can work on some more. And maybe I need to, you know, go and watch some James Harden highlights to give me the motivation to then get on my CJ Stroud grind. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask y'all this. I was thinking about this because I ran across this news, but which quarterback would you say is in a more stressful situation?
Ooh.
Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes? And bear with me for a second.
Oh, yeah,
I'll put y'all on game.
Yeah.
All
right.
So Patrick Mahomes Sr. has reportedly pled guilty to his third DUI charge. He agreed to a 5-year probation sentence with intense supervision for his first year. And yeah, so Patrick Mahomes is getting a lot of attention for this.
I don't know if this is. Go ahead.
And I was sitting there thinking, because I'm like, man, it seemed like everybody in Patrick Mahomes' circle.
His brother,
Jackson Mahomes.
Hell, his wife got into something.
His wife liked the political tweet and everything went off. But Patrick Mahomes is still cool as a cucumber, man. This dude's still going out there balling and winning Super Bowls.
At least in front of us. Yeah, I often wonder, you know, when every guy has their guy time when they're, you know, handling business in a restroom. You know what I mean? You dropping the kids at the pool or whatever.
Yeah.
I recognize that some people might have just eaten lunch. I apologize. but, you know, when you have that time to sit and think, I do wonder if he every once in a while goes, can y'all chill?
What's funny?
Just when he gets that moment to himself, like, why can't y'all chill?
Yeah.
What's funny is I ran across the perfect tweet from somebody with this. They said, I know Pat Mahomes sits in the car before he goes in.
Yes.
Inside the house.
Dude, that is so good.
He goes, he does practice, he does his extra work.
He pulls in and just goes.
Pulls in the driveway, just a deep breath.
All right, here we go. Now the hard part
of
my day.
That's when work really starts sometimes.
Now the hard part of my day.
But like, real talk, it got to be stressful for him, like going through all that stuff, because I know he's not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And if you look at Deshaun Watson, he got his money.
Well, see.
Like, he got his money. People know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that money ain't going nowhere right now.
Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes has a harder time because he actually cares. Yeah. About how he is perceived.
Yeah.
He have how his family is welcomed or perceived.
He got like, an image he got to keep up with.
Deshaun Watson doesn't care.
Yeah.
You can say whatever the hell you want about Deshaun Watson.
I think Deshaun, I know he got three quarterbacks over his shoulder right now, but I don't think he give a damn about
that. He doesn't have a conscience, and Patrick Mahomes does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Patrick Mahomes is the right answer.
Yeah, and if you want to cut it a different way, you could possibly say also, like, he's not doing very much to make these, I guess if you want to call them PR problems, I don't really have another delicate way of speaking to that. But, like, and it's blood, right? It's your family and stuff that, like, you can't just, like, kick them out of your, or I imagine that you don't want to kick them out of your life or what have you. It's just like, yo, I love you guys. However, can y'all please, please just keep this in line so that everything goes smooth.
He just need to have a family meeting like, yo, listen, I am Patrick Mahomes the second. Like, I can't afford all of this drama going on.
No, I agree.
I have an image going on.
And to what Reggie was just saying, he's just sitting there.
He ain't doing anything wrong.
He's got nothing to do with it, with his brother, with his dad, you know, whatever. He has a lot to do with
teammates.
His wife. But what she tweets or likes, again, he's just like, I'm just sitting here, man, and y'all are doing
this. Yeah, he's sitting there balling, still winning Super Bowl.
Watson does have some stress, though, because, hey, man, don't they have, like, three dudes that can replace him in some ways? No, like, honestly, he's out here and he has to find a way to get back to actually playing good, right? Because that's the thing. All the other things, right? And I say that gesturing wildly to you know what, right? All the other things exist. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on like where you stand with our society, America is a place where you can succeed in spite of yourself.
Yeah.
If he gets out here and balls, people will find a way to like make everything honky dory, right? Or whatever. Honky dory, whatever. How's the?
You can say honky.
Okay, excellent.
You can say.
I hope I didn't offend anybody in that way. I will go ahead and pre-apologize for that. My intentions were good. But yeah, with
a
that
faux pas.
Yeah, faux pas, if you will. Hey man, he got to get out here and ball, man. Like the paycheck is big enough. The offense is good enough. They've given him pretty much everything you could want. The variables have been removed. It's just you, dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you.
Yep. I got one more.
Yeah, man.
So, if you had a chance to work with your father at work, would you call him dad in the workplace?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I would not. It would be hard not to, but I would not. I know exactly where you're going
with this. So, LeBron addressed this on his show, The Shop, and he talked about the possibility of Bronny and him being on the same court and him calling him dad.
Have you thought through... not relationship, because you always be his dad, he'll always be his son, but what's your working relationship? Is he going to call you dad at practice in the locker room?
No, he can't. We already laid that down. He cannot call me dad in the workplace. All right. Once we leave out of the practice facility and the gates close, I could be dad again.
Okay.
In the car if we ride together.
Okay.
At home, I could be dad. No, he got to call me like 2-3 or Brian.
Okay.
Or... you know, goat if he wants to.
Oh, it's up God. To him. Of I course he had to throw that in.
We cannot be running down the court. And he'd be like, dad, push the ball up. Dad, I'm over. Dad, come on. Like, no, you cannot do that.
That'd be pretty sweet, though. By the way, he's going to have a hard time not calling him dad, if that's what he normally calls him.
Right, he is. Yeah. And LeBron mentioned that because that's all Bronny calls him is dad. Mm-hmm. And LeBron said it won't be easy for him because he don't call him son. He call him Bronny.
Yeah.
So he said it'd be easier for him. But as far as Bronny, you're going to have to call him Bron, I guess.
Yeah. And what's funny is like, I feel like if I was in that situation, I would absolutely want to be saying like pops or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem is like the circumstances under which y'all are working together make it so that if we want to keep the morale up around this piece.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that we don't constantly point to the idea that you might be here just because your name is the same as this man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm just putting myself in that place. I would if I worked at Kelly Air Force Base with my father, it'd be dad. It'd be dad.
Yeah, but I honestly, like, we're in a place where you know, the way that people feel matters so much, especially at NBA locker room,
sure.
Where there's fewer people involved. You got 15 dudes in that locker room, and it's easy to lose it like that. You want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and nobody's feeling some type of way, right? Let's not call attention to the fact that Bronny is here in large part because he is Bronny, especially because of the guaranteed money, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
The idea that he's there, I think a lot of players are like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Man. He, But the idea that there's that guarantee money, yeah, you don't want that in the back of your head as more than it already is. Yeah. So yeah, let's go ahead and bring that. But don't get out here doing GOAT though. That also is not going to help.
Real quick, do Brian Callahan call his dad, who is Bill Callahan?
Coach, that's an easy one.
Coach is easy. Just call him coach.
I mean, I'm sure Case Keenum calls his dad coach to this day.
832, they said they worked with their mom at a show when they were 18, called her mom at work, and she didn't like it. But at that store, it was like it was a family-owned, possibly. So It was cool. All right, cool. Yeah.
Figgy Smith say every day at 120. Nice.
Yeah, don't forget that. Always hang out with Figgy and Figgy's mixtape 120. But hang out with us in the loop, 10 to 2. We're getting ready to hand it off to the drive. But coming up next, let's get ourselves ready for that handoff. We'll do it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. One more to go on this Wednesday afternoon before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive, Ron and Clint. They're getting ready to give you some fire today. I can see it. I can see it in them. Yeah, man.
I'm looking at them right now.
I can see it. They're excited
to break down. I see. Okay, oh, okay. Really? They're flexing. Yeah, they're flexing.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to have a show for you.
I think Ron's flexing. I think he is.
Okay. I know that he'll be
flexing. They got some fire.
Like, I believe. You asked an interesting question as we're getting ready to get out of here, though. You asked an interesting question about this division, right? Because cutting down, everybody does that, and everybody kind of gets a feel for the finality, or not maybe not the finality, but how the roster will look like going into the rest of the season. And we've had a little bit of a fascination over the last week or so with the Titans.
Yes.
And you asked, like, are the Titans at all scary, or are they kind of legit to you?
Let me ask you guys first, because I can tell you, things have changed a little bit for me. And they just added Ernest Jones.
Yeah, and that was a guy who, you know, the Rams had, and wanted, you know, I guess in some ways either they wanted him out, he wanted out there, but ultimately there was a general decision that they were not going to have him on that team moving forward. And so that's a solid linebacker that they add to what they've got going there. They got some good names on there. Tavondre Sweat, a dude that's well known in the state of Texas.
Now, man.
In addition to Sebastian Joseph Day and Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, all of these guys, like, notable players on the defensive line. They add Legarius Sneed, who was really the linchpin of the Kansas City defense when it comes to the secondary. He was a huge part of what made that thing go. And I thought the defense for the Kansas City was what carried them to the Super Bowl. I know that we love talking about the offense, but that defense was a problem. They added some really nice pieces in addition to offensively now. You know, there are some things that are interesting there, especially obviously we're familiar with DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. Both of those guys either played here or have played in the division. Well, I guess obviously the Titans are in the division. But, yeah, man, they are interesting.
Do they scare you?
I don't think that I am. Scare is not the right word, I don't think. They're something that you have to be kind of concerned with, or you have to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are a potential, like, stumbling block, but I don't believe that they are real competitors.
Figgy?
They don't scare me, but...
We're all saying the same thing. Yeah. They don't, but...
Nah, I think it's somebody... I would say you can't sleep on them. They ain't just no doormat at this point, man. When you play them, it's going to be competitive. I know I ain't trying to be cliche and nothing like that.
No, I got you.
Nah, they loaded up this offseason. I thought they was in the rebuild. But they actually signed a lot of players, and they picking up some names. So,
I mean, he just went through some.
Arden Key.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying it all summer long. They act like a team that's a contender, but I don't see them being a contender. They're acting the part, though. I mean, up until yesterday, like, you know, they brought in another player yesterday.
What makes them not a contender for you? Like, is it the quarterback position?
Well, that's why I brought it up again, because I'm starting to wonder. Are we missing the boat here? What am I not seeing here? I've always acknowledged. I think Callahan is kind of a wild card. Want to see how he plays. You know, plays there, and I think he's a really good play caller. So that's kind of why I brought this back up, Figgy. I'm like, man, am I missing something with the Titans? I hate them. So I could be easily biased, you know.
As evidenced by a text that we had earlier today. Yes, I definitely. Yeah, you're not fond of the organization.
I think I was pretty direct on that text.
Yes, you were. Yeah, that is. I understand that our dear listeners do not know what we're talking about, but just take my word for it.
I was very direct.
No love lost between John P. Lopez and the Titans as an organization, yes. Staff, record label, yes. And a crew.
Specifically, Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's an interesting thing because, again, I think that they're projected to be at the bottom of the division, but I think that this division is a really tough one, man. The thing that, Figgy, to answer your question, I think the thing that keeps me away is I know that Will Levis has some traits as a quarterback. One of the things, I don't think that he's going to play at such a high level that it makes it so that they have that contender status, right? I think you can look around this division and see the quarterbacks that have that can really contend with what you're doing here. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a little bit more established in what he's doing, even though he had a down year. I think that he has the more capabilities when you talk about talents. Anthony Richardson is the one that's like real boomer bust potential.
Mm-hmm.
And you're early on with a play caller that I know you like Callahan, but I like Steichen as Steichen a play caller a lot better, even though, again, division rival, right? So I have to find a way to manage those feelings. I feel like this is the one team that's in the division that does not have as high of a ceiling at that most valuable position. And so I think that that's one of the things that's holding them back a little bit as well. But no, they're definitely someone to contend with, man. They're definitely a team that, you know, that's going to challenge you that you cannot look past, I think. But I'm not willing to put the Titans in a place where I am really worried about them, if that
You're
makes sense.
You're banking on Will Levis. Because as much as Brian Callahan, you know, if he's good, if he's great, it doesn't matter if Will Levis can't, you know, can't get it done and can't execute what he's trying to get done. So yeah, I think that's where I fall. It's like, boy, they're getting better and better looking, but it still comes down to is that quarterback going to be worth worth it or good enough for them?
Right. And look, ultimately, I'm looking at the Texans. Right. I'm still looking at this team being a team that controls their own destiny. Right. There are sometimes in divisions where you're looking at it and you're looking at other teams to falter or to find your space.
Mm-hmm.
This Texans team, it's about them, right? You handle your business, and you should be putting yourself in a position for success where you're not looking for other teams in the division to give you and grant you space to go and do what you want. Like, I think your real competition, provided that you live up to your expectations, which I understand because they haven't done anything yet on when it comes to X's and O's, right?
Yeah.
Or not X's and O's, but when it comes to wins and losses.
Yeah.
But if they handle their business, their competition is the better teams in the AFC as opposed to just in the division
itself.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the thing in the division. But, you know, there are going to be, like, every team in the division is just scary enough to beat a team as good as the Texans and really kind of mess things up. And I think the Titans are kind of putting themselves in that position as well. I've been saying Indianapolis all summer long also. I've been saying Indy to me is the scariest team in the division. Don't really have high hopes for Trevor Lawrence to take another step, but you never know. But they're still pretty good. And the Titans I just wrote off. Well, now you got, you know, in the division, you're going to have those six games against teams that absolutely you're going to have that ability. I hate to say that term even, but it's true, that any given Sunday thing, you know, in this division, they're going to be able to do it.
Okay, so as we're talking about like kind of the heights and expectations, I found this interesting. After cut down day, we got new odds on Super Bowl odds, right? Who could be up there? Who do you think are the, first of all, where do you think the Texans kind of fall in? Who do you think are their peers in that regard?
I would have to put them, me personally, I'd put them ahead of Buffalo, but obviously, you know, Chiefs are number one. And then, man. Is there an NFC team up there? Because they're all kind of got some questions. Niners. And then after that, I would guess Texans and Baltimore and who else?
Well, according to USA Today, who kind of put this out, clearly the Chiefs won when it comes to Super Bowl odds. They're plus 500. Niners are second when it comes to Super Bowl odds. Baltimore Ravens, Detroit, and Philadelphia are the teams in the NFC that people are giving a lot of credit to. Bengals are sixth, and then a three-way tie at seventh, Bills, Packers, and your Houston Texans, plus 1,600.
I'm not mad at that. I could see that happening. I could see where those are the odds right now.
I think they should be even. Wherever the Packers are, I feel like they should be.
And that's exactly where they are. So you're spot on, Ron.
Yeah.
They seem like the same type of team.
Yeah.
Teams that you need to like you've only really seen it once.
Mm-hmm.
And like as Clint has said, hell, the Packers it's almost a 9-game stretch,
half a game,
and then and then you know, obviously with the Texans last year, and as we've said with the Texans, I think it's the same with the Packers. Teams are looking at them differently when they see them on the schedule. So
yeah,
I think they should be in that same space.
Are you fellas at all concerned about the Titans? That's a question that we were kind of talking about, mm-hmm. because this is a team that's clearly gotten better, but like it still feels to me like they're kind of, I don't know, ankle biters almost feels a little too diminutive, but they're not in a place where you really need to be scared of them, but they can give you a little bit of trouble if you're not careful.
Oh, they can give you trouble. I mean, everybody in the division can give you trouble.
We talked about it. It's
Will Levis. Can he come down here and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and beat the hell out of you? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also likely to come out here and throw for a 150 and 4 interceptions and a sack fumble as well. Like his style of play, he's not athletic enough to threaten you for 4 quarters with his legs at any point in time. And his style from the pocket is too aggressive for the NFL. And he takes way too many hits.
Yeah, he does.
To be able to stay healthy. I mean, he holds a ball and takes hits like he's back playing at Kentucky when they're playing Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even at Kentucky, you can't do that when you're playing Georgia, boss.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that when you're playing certain. Like, there are a very select few of individuals that can play with their legs off schedule, off platform, and get away with it. We as fans, we all sit around and we're enamored with it and we love it, and it's great. Don't get me wrong. But there, to think that, there's more than
but that's how you
I'm
win.
Talking
that's
off schedule. Yeah. I mean, off schedule. I'm not talking about the on schedule. The Jalen Hurts, what Anthony Richardson should do, what Josh Allen should do. I'm talking about the off script, off schedule stuff. I mean, there's a handful of guys that can do it. I mean, you got Kyler Murray, you got Lamar Jackson. I mean, you got a handful of dudes that can do that. Everybody else, your ass needs to stay on schedule.
The thing with them though is he's super, super talented physically, a big player, as Clint has talked about. But it's does Brian Callahan get through to him, right?
Yeah,
and we've seen
question.
That. Like, I mean, we saw a flip, and I'm not trying to compare this. I mean, the person that comes to mind, we saw a flip with Josh Allen from the silly stuff. Now, he hasn't completely corrected it, but he was able to correct it enough to where it worked because everything else around him.
Yeah.
Is hey, that could flirt with a playoff team.
Yeah,
they feel like a 7-10 type team.
Well, I'm looking forward to you guys talking more about these Texans after the 53-man cut down. Obviously, you guys handled that swimmingly yesterday. More excited on what the drive has to come today. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. Ladies and gentlemen, the drive is live.